This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here with the one, with the only, John Cooper, the lead singer of Skillet. Y'all, like, what, had 17 million? Is that right? Did I read that right? 17 million platinum? Like,
yes.
You've really done it. You've really done the full Monty here.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you. I really can't believe it when I see the number. 17 million, I don't feel like we've sold that much, but, you know, I guess the numbers don't lie. But we've been doing it, let's see, 27 years. My wife and I have been married for 26 years. Some people don't know my wife, Corey, is also in the band. So cool. 27 years on the road. We raised our kids on the road. And just so people know, my kids' ages, my daughter will be 21 next month. My son is 18, just so you know who I am and what it's all about.
I love that. I really love that you are coming at culture from such a spiritual perspective. And it's not about either side. It doesn't feel like to me. It's more about just like it's all wrong. It's all like not the right. We're not doing this correctly. And it's a spiritual crisis, in other words, right? Is that kind of the vibe you're putting out there?
I absolutely think it's a spiritual crisis. I mean, you know, in fact, in the opening chapter of the book, it's sort of like, I call it the pre-show chapter, but it's an introduction, but I'm clever, so I called it a pre-show. In the pre-show chapter, I'm writing about the fact that sometimes people say, John, sounds like you're getting hyper-political. Why are you doing that? And I'm writing, I'm saying, I never wanted to be political. I want to play music, you know, I want to be a rock and roll singer. I want to sing songs I believe in and meet fans from all over the world, which we've done, who disagree about everything. I mean, we travel the world and meet people from all sorts of religions, the non-religious, whatever. I don't want to talk about these culture issues. I don't want to sing my music, but something has changed so drastically. And we are witnessing what I believe is the destruction of our society. It is a spiritual calamity. I don't think we can over exaggerate it. And I felt that I was being forced to I didn't have to say anything, but to not say anything feels like madness. Like, you know that somebody is going down a path that is going to lead them into so much harm and so much tragedy, and I can help do something about it. And I'm, the sake of my kids, for the sake of hopefully my grandkids one day, I feel like you got to say something. And I think that at this point, most people recognize we're in a tragedy. The amount of young people I meet that have contemplated suicide is so heartbreaking. It cannot be exaggerated. The amount of people I meet who are addicted to pornography, who are addicted to sex or of course drugs or whatever, who just can't find any meaning in life. It is so utterly heartbreaking. And I just feel like we've got to talk about these things. And so that's why we do.
I feel like in these past few years, there has been like such a heavy influx of cancel culture, and like everyone's scared to say anything, and everyone has different opinions, and everyone is like so worried to like speak up or do anything that could possibly cause controversy. And I feel like you are just going straight for it. And you're like, stop. Everyone's just getting their feelings hurt and getting so worried about hurting feelings. But there's a huge issue here that we need to tackle, and we need to like learn tools to tackle and learn the foundation of what's actually going to bring happiness and joy into the world, and not just trying to fill it. And I love how you said it's like the man God, and then there's a heavenly God, and there's like the man-made God. And that's the crisis we're in right now, because we're worshiping like the human man-made God in all sorts of forms.
No, I think that's so important. You just nailed it. I mean, like I say, I felt somewhat forced to say something, because what happened with Skillet, as things were changing, as the social justice movement in the mid-2010s was gaining so much ground, there was basically this sort of like bullying that happened that was like, hey, if you're not speaking out against, you know, fill in the blank, I don't even, whatever, Trump, if you're not speaking out against Trump, or if you're not speaking out against what's happening at the border during the Trump, whatever, really, you just name it. If you're not speaking out against or for BLM or whatever, you know, choose your topic, then you are part of
the problem.
You're part of the problem. You are being unjust. You are not loving people. And then that started infiltrating into Christianity. You started having a lot of Christians saying, yes, if you're not doing all those things, not only are you part of the problem, not only are you a bad human being, you are a bad witness for Christ. And I was like, dude, I just want to play music. But what was even more than that is I was thinking, well, I don't want to speak out on your side on a lot of these things, because I actually don't agree with you about that. I don't even mind that we disagree. I can still be friends. Can I just play music? And basically the answer was no, you can't just play music. And so I felt really torn between these two things, which is either A, I'm being bullied and forced to say something I do not believe, which is what a coward does. I mean, no, I'm not going to do that, of course. Or I'm going to be called unjust or unchristian or whatever it may be, and you're not allowed to be silent. So I said, all right, fine. And this is how I said it in my book, all I wanted to do was play music in peace. But if I can't play music in peace, then I'm going to play music in war. And you've poked the bear now. So you've poked the bear, you've made me speak out. And now I'm going to speak out, and I'm just going to say what's on my mind, because if I don't, I feel like the culture is going to hell so very quickly. And so we have to talk about these issues. I do think it's hard talking about them in love, saying, I love you whether you disagree with me or not, but we have to say what we believe. And as you just said, Caroline, people get their feelings hurt so easy. And that's actually part of the problem. That's part of the kind of the humanistic culture we're living in, is everybody gets their feelings hurt. And now getting your feelings hurt is equated to harm. And when I grew up, getting your feelings hurt was just called going to school.
That's so true. Getting your feelings hurt is equated to harm now, when really that's a part of life, is navigating that.
Oh gosh. Yeah. If you don't learn how to get thick enough skin for somebody to say, I disagree with that idea, and in fact, I think that's an evil idea, if that is going to literally cause you to have to go to psychotherapy and start taking anxiety medication, then you have not been prepared for this world. This world will chew you up and spit you out. Life isn't easy. And so part of what I want to do is say, hey, don't be a victim. I believe that Jesus Christ died. I believe he rose from the dead. I believe he gave me a new life, and he has empowered me now to live as a new creation. And he has called me to be a victor, not a victim. I'm living in victory, and I don't care what, if you don't like what I have to say or not. What you have to say is not going to rule my life. Come on. And I think we need to raise children who understand how to disagree with someone without getting their feelings hurt and crying all night long.
You're so right. This world, especially this day and age, I feel like it is not raising children and people prepared to handle life, because we're born into a dualistic world. I mean, it's like this is a yin and yang world. There's the hunted, there's the animals. Like, you look at predators and prey, and like from the start, we are born in an intense thing. You know, we've evolved so much where humans have developed ways to protect ourselves against most things, like wild animals attacking us down and eating us alive. But still, we are born into a world where it is not just like utopia here at all, on any level, at any part of this spectrum that we're existing in. And so we got to learn the tools and the basic foundations of how to navigate, because especially right now, so much is coming at everyone from every direction. And it's all different types of opinions, different ways to live, ways to compare yourself, ways to feel bad about yourself. It's coming from every direction. So I feel like more than ever, people are not prepared to handle this world. And it takes people down so quickly because we're missing the foundations, like the true foundations of what it means to live a happy and full life, which means you're living a life bigger than yourself, which we've lost that. And I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, that is kind of what I mean. In the title of the book, Wimpy, Weak, and Woke, what you just described is the wimpy section. That's what it means to be wimpy. Being wimpy is it's not calling out a certain person. It's calling out an ideology. It's a way that we have created this kind of new world. And part of the tactic actually is to make people shut up. So it's a bullying tactic to say that if I don't like what you're saying and I don't like your ideas, then I'm going to say that you are doing me harm, which now puts you in the category of not having free speech. So that's where the idea of like, hate speech isn't free speech. Everybody's probably heard that. The idea is that, well, if what you're saying hurts my feelings, and hurting my feelings equals harm, and harm means doing violence against my, my well-being, my therapeutic, you know, my happiness or my level of anxiety. If you're doing me harm, then you shouldn't have the freedom to say those things. So it's a bullying tactic to shut down speech and to shut down ideas. And so part of what Wimpy, Weak, and Woke is about is reminding people that, A, you have to have thick skin, and you have to be ready to hear what other people have to say. And I want to promote, as you said, this idea of how do we find contentment? How do we find meaning and life? And there are two different ways to do this. One would probably be more of a traditionalist view. I would call this part of the Christian worldview, certainly, which is that you find contentment in, as you said, in something larger than yourself. You look and you see the world as it is, and you can see the world, you can touch it, taste it, feel it, and you recognize that the objective world is actually true. And you say, how do I conform my life to this objective world? And we do that by looking in the past. We look at the people that come before us. We've seen things that are tried and true and that we know work. If you're a Christian like I am, or maybe if you're Jewish or even in some other religions, maybe you have a holy text. We believe that's the Bible. So we look at the Bible, and we believe the Bible is the word of God. And so you build your life upon these ancient texts because we believe they're more than texts. We believe they are holy. They are sacred. They are the words of God. You build your life on that, and that is where you find contentment, because you are conforming to the good world that God created. What we are living in now in America and in the West in general is a progressive worldview that says that everything that came in the past is retrograde. It is outdated. It is outmoded. We have new technology. We have new whatever. And we're reaching towards something in the future, which is our own ideas. It's man's ideas going, yeah, I don't think I like that. I don't think I like free speech. I don't think I like somebody telling me something's going to hurt my feelings. So you shouldn't have free speech, but I should have free speech. And we're going to enter into a new utopian world. And what you end up with is not utopia. You end up in dystopia. It's a clamoring down on freedom of speech. It's a clamoring down on freedom of religion. It's a clamoring down on freedom of the parent to raise their child in the way they believe is right. Those aren't just American values. Those are also biblical values. And so that's why I believe this destruction of America is a destruction of Western society, is a destruction of Christianity and biblical foundation that built this country. Whether you're a Christian or not, whether you believe in Christ or not, this country was founded on those principles. And I believe they've led to the most prosperous, most free society in the civilization of humanity.
Do you think this is happening consciously or subconsciously within our collective?
It is 100% on purpose.
Really? Okay.
On purpose.
Tell me about that. You have feelings about political leaders too. Tell me why you think it's all
on purpose. Well, that when I say it's on purpose, I don't mean to insinuate, and I hope that people hear me, I don't mean to insinuate that anybody, for instance, watching this program that kind of believes in this progressive worldview is consciously going, yes, I want to tear down Western civilization. I'm not talking about your average ordinary person. I'm talking about our leadership classes, the elites. And all throughout the book, there are 650 footnotes in this book, okay? So I go back and I quote the original thought leaders that we are basing our lives upon. That is people like Hegel, Karl Marx, the critical theorist, Freud. I go all through and all through the sexual revolution leading up to the 2020s. This is not a mistake. These are people who actually believed and they said it in their own words. You need to go pre-order my book on my website, johnlcooper.com, and you'll read their own words. They believe that Christianity is the root of all evil in society. Christianity is the reason that people suffer. Christianity is the reason that people suffer from sexual repression. It's the reason that people suffer in families. It's the reason there was racism. It's the reason there was homophobia, transphobia. Anything going bad in the world is the fault of Christianity. These writers, they say it in their own words. And so I think that our elite classes used to believe, whether they were Christian or not, I mean, even like FDR, I mean, FDR even said, America is a Christian nation. And I don't, if I remember my history correctly, I don't even think FDR was necessarily what we think of some a follower of Christ. I don't quite remember, but I don't think he was. But his point was being, was that this country was built on this foundation and it was good and it has led to a lot of really great things. So it used to be that even non-religious people liked that foundation. But as the years went by, I believe that science, secular humanism, psychology, all these things began to take precedence over Christianity. And our elites bought into it. And they truly believe that through the power of man, through our own knowledge, through our own technological capacities, that we can create a perfect utopia and we do not need the past. That has happened across the board. So it is absolutely on purpose. And so now I hope if people read the book, if you just begin to listen to things that maybe some of our either political leaders or cultural thought leaders, you might call them, Hollywood, you will begin to hear things they say and you'll recognize it. You'll say, oh, I read that in John's book. What they're actually saying is that Christianity is bad. The entire Western civilization is bad. So when people say things like, you know, that the roots of this country are in imperialism or colonialism. What they really mean is that those were ideas that came from Christianity from the West. And so we have to tear all of those things down and create a brand new civilization. And it's not tried and it's a very dangerous thing. And I think that instability is part of what is leading to so much chaos, so much depression in people's lives.
Feels like chaos right now. Like I just literally, it feels like chaos. And I'm like, oh, and I'm hoping that people wake up to a higher calling, like what you're trying to spread? Because I feel like you really are. You're not coming at anybody. You're just coming at like something has, like we got to wake up here. Like this is not going well. What's going to happen? Like I have fear. I try not to stick my head in the sand, but then I also try not to think about stuff too much because I get a little nervous. But like I have fear of like what, I mean, what could happen? It could get really out of hand. How can we turn this around? How do we feel like, do things just have to get bad enough for enough people before they get desperate and find God? Or like how, I love that, like you, the way you're using your platform. I mean, you're like doing full sermons at shows. I'm like watching you and I'm like, I am like receiving a holy message, which is so awesome. But you're willing to like put yourself out there and make this your life. Like you've made this your life mission. Yes, you're a famous rock star, but like I can totally tell you're kind of like Coach Prime to me. He is like a huge celebrity, but like it is about God. And I can feel that. And I feel that with you. I mean, you are about God and I can feel that. And I like, that's like the essence of your existence is to get this message out there. Was there a moment where it switched for you or have you always been like this? I asked you like a million questions in that one.
Sure. No, that's very kind. Thank you so much. Very kind words. I've always been in this position. This was always the heart of Skillet when we started. It's just changed because the nature of the world has changed. And people need to understand that Skillet tours the world, literally. In fact, we're bigger in Russia than we are in America. So, and of course, we haven't been to Russia in the last few years for what all has happened. But we've been to Russia 10 times. I've been to Ukraine 10 times, Japan, Australia, all of Europe. We tour the world, and around 2018, touring Europe, I was like, oh my gosh, the chaos we're experiencing in America is not only in America, it is everywhere. And that is different because I'm telling you, I've toured the world for 27 years. It used to not be like this. And so I said, you know what? I've got to start talking about some of these things. What I think we're really in is a crisis of meaning. And that's why I talk about God, because I know people watching, there's probably people watching that don't believe in God and whatnot, but just hear me out. It's just a philosophical exercise. If there is a God, let's just say if, okay, if there is a creator, and if he did create the world to have meaning, well, let's just say this. If he did create the world, then that means the world has meaning. It would be impossible for God to just create something willy-nilly and it not mean anything to him. We all know that's true. You have a four-year-old daughter. If she draws a little picture of a sunshine or something and she gives it to you as her mom, it has meaning, right? You know, she didn't just go, oh, I'll draw it, I don't care about it. It means something to your kid to give you a piece of art that they created something. So meaning is woven into creation. So if there is a God and if there is meaning, and if he created me in his image, oh my gosh, well, that means that my life matters. And that means that the fact that I have, you know, a certain amount of DNA that can grow a big, gorgeous beard like this, you know, or the fact that I have brown eyes or the fact that you have blue eyes, well, that actually matters because that means that somebody decided they wanted my eyes to be brown. That's an incredible thing. What is happening is that our culture in its search for utopia has stripped away everything that gave us meaning. God, church, community, country, faith, fidelity, loyalty. I mean, right now in our society, there is an attack on even the concept of marriage, that maybe even the idea of marriage itself is actually, you know, patriarchal and is meant to dominate somebody. And, you know, people were never really meant to be in a covenant marriage. It's not really biological and this and the other. They're destroying things that have given humans meaning since the beginning of, since the first books that were ever written. Go read the Iliad, go read the Odyssey. And you see all these things that mattered and it gave meaning to people and we're stripping them away and then shocked that our kids have nothing to live for. I just read an article this week in the New York Times, I believe it was, about how AI is creating a class of young men who don't want girlfriends because they have AI girlfriends. They have fake AI girlfriends and all the things that can come with AI, this fake sex life. So you don't need a partner. You don't need a wife. You don't need a husband. You don't need anybody because you have everything you need in this. And all of a sudden they are becoming more lonely and they have no relationships. The world is a trash heap right now because all meaning has been taken from it. So yeah.
It's like humans have no meaning then. They're just like, there's no meaning, there's no value for humans and for relationships.
Yes, that's right. Because human beings then in this entire world becomes nothing more than material. And we can take that all the way back to the fact that Karl Marx is so influential in our modern culture now into his materialistic worldview. There is no heaven, there is no God, there is no spiritual world. All that matters is material. And so that means sex is just meaningless. Sex is nothing more than for my personal pleasure because people don't matter. They're just material for me to get what I need. That is a dark, depressing worldview. But what if there was another story? Mm. What if there is a God? What if he created you for purpose and you find purpose in having a relationship with a God who loved you enough to send his son Jesus to die on a cross for your sins, that he could make me a new creation? That's what the Bible says. If anyone is in Christ, he is a brand new creation. Do you want to be a new creature? Do you want to have meaning in your life? So throughout the book, I'm basically saying, here's all the reasons that the world is messed up and the reason it ain't going to work, but there is another answer. And that is found in biblical wisdom. And that reaches out to every corner of your life, your parenting, the way you act as a husband or a wife, the way you treat your friends. Oh, wait for it. The way you treat people who hate you, okay? Loving people that don't love you back. The way that you treat people that disagree with you about politics or abortion or fill in the blank with whatever thing that is that's so volatile, you think I can't even talk to somebody about that. The Bible gives us a way to do all of these things. And I really think that if we would begin to think deeply about these philosophies, that I think that we could see a change in this country. And the last thing I'll say about it, we used to have commonalities in America, Christians, Jewish people, Buddhists, atheists. We had some commonalities. Those commonalities were found in American values, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to assemble, you know, all these things that we give each other so that we can live together in peace. And I think that that's one of the biggest reasons, done on purpose, that this progressive movement has to destroy the foundations of America, to say that America's foundations are bad, so that they realize that American values are bad, the Constitution is bad, so that we can rewrite a new Constitution that says actually you don't have freedom of speech because some things are too hateful to say. So it's a new kind of totalitarianism, and that's why I fight so hard against that.
Okay, I'll wrap up because I'm so appreciative of your time, but what, kind of give me the scenarios. What can happen if we do get a grip on this and restore values, and what can happen if we don't?
Oh gosh, what a great question, Caroline. If we don't, let me just say this. You know the chaos, this is for everybody listening, rhetorical question. The chaos you feel every week and you think it can't get weirder. And I don't mean to as we're ending to land on the most volatile things ever, but like this week I saw a clip from a big thing. What was that in Germany? For people who identify as dogs, okay? All of a sudden, there's no metric for truth, and you are going to see more and more of this. I believe it will lead to is a revolution against America, which I believe is a foundation against absolute truth, absolute morality, and God only knows where that is going to lead to. I think that will lead to it will be illegal to say certain things in public. We're already moving towards that. Canada has already done that. For instance, in Canada, it's illegal to misgender someone or something like that, right? We will move into a place where that is illegal in America. It will be illegal to, let's say you have an 8-year-old son who says that he identifies as a girl. And if you as a parent say, I'm not comfortable with that or whatever, and if you refuse to let your son begin to transition at 8, 9 years old, the government will end up making that illegal. That is where the country is going if we don't put a stop to it.
That's terrifying.
It's terrifying, but we're on the road to that as we speak. The other option is that parents and people, whether you're Christian, whether you're religious or not, maybe you're an atheist, but come to their senses to say, okay, wait a minute. There is such a thing as absolute truth. We may disagree on things. We may disagree on abortion, or is there a time when we need to set abortion restrictions or not? We may disagree on all sorts of things, tax codes, immigration, whatever. But there are some things that we have to hold on to, and American values. I mean, they have created the most freedom and the most prosperity for all kinds of people. This is a great country that has had a lot of sins in its past that this country's tried to rectify. But the principles of the Constitution are really, really good. And the foundation of Judeo-Christian ethics are unquestionable. Look at the world that you live in. This is a pretty great country. So I'll just end with that. People, please go check out the book, pre-order it on johnlcooper.com. It will explain most of this stuff, probably in more detail than you want.
I think it's great. I love that you're hitting this head on. I do feel like we're in spiritual warfare right now. And I used to not talk about faith all the time. I kind of like shied away from having hard conversations because I never wanted to rock the boat. But more than ever now, I just feel the need to have these kind of conversations and have them a lot and let them be heard, because I feel the same way. I feel like we've got to get a grip on the spiritual warfare that's happening and understand and have an awakening, because it is scary the way things are rolling right now. And so thank you for sharing your heart and for leading people to a higher calling and purpose with God. I always wrap up with leave your light, and you have said so many wonderful things, but what do you want people to know?
In general?
Yep, wide open.
The main thing I would want people to know would be this. Let's see. It's a quote from St. Augustine, who's around 400 AD. And I won't give the whole quote because it's too long, but he basically says this: we were made for the pleasure of the Creator, and our hearts are restless until we are found in Him. So for people who are feeling chaotic, who are looking for peace, I would encourage you, maybe the reason you haven't found it yet is because you have not surrendered your life to God. That's my light, as you call it.
Amen. I love that. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time. I appreciate all your energy and all your contributions to the world to make it a better place. You're awesome. And it was such a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, Caroline. I really appreciate it. Keep it up.
I will. Woo! You too.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.